Well, do you know what it's like to stand amongst a sea of blue-clad Carolina fans singing Hark the Sound and not know the words? Or to arrive on campus on the first day and not know a single person? Well, that was me when I arrived at Carolina. To think that with Facebook and the internet, it could have all been at my fingertips, is hard to imagine. But maybe it's better that it wasn't, actually. I do not hail from the Tar Heel State, and occasionally that is painfully evident. My wardrobe is seriously lacking in light blue articles of clothing, and some of you may know that I made the terrible mistake of arriving at a Saturday morning GAA meeting a couple years ago in a brilliant purple silk blouse on the day of the ECU game. I pulled up in the parking lot. Everyone out there is doing the cornhole thing, which we really don't have in California. And I knew I was in trouble. I could see all the purple and, well, anyway. Nonetheless, I'm not a Tar Heel bred, but I'm a Tar Heel through and through, nonetheless. So the willingness of the Carolina community to embrace all walks of students, I think, is a beautiful part of my Carolina story, and I believe a beautiful part of this university. So how did I get here anyway? Well, it all started with Ralph Sampson, believe it or not. Ralph Sampson, you're probably thinking he was a Wahoo, right? Those of you who know him. Well, he was. He was the 7'3" high school basketball phenom once upon a time, who went to Harrisonburg High School, which was my rival high school. So I was cheering for anyone but the team that Ralph Sampson was playing for. So he went to UVA. I was a freshman in high school. And so I said, I'm going to cheer for the light blue team. The guys in the light blue, Mike Pepper, that cute guy on the team. You might not believe this, but truly, that is how I first became interested in Carolina. So as fate would have it, I later found out it was a wonderful university, and that was a good thing because my love affair with Carolina had begun. Well, you see, I was the youngest of four children and the first member of my family to go to college, so we didn't have any college allegiances. I stuck with the light blue team, and as I said, eventually learned it was a great university. And that's a good thing because I was a good student and I was unaware of how difficult it would be to get into this place out of state. Later people kind of laughed at me for even trying, but it's a good thing I didn't know because I did try. So I applied, and I vividly recall the day in December of 1987 when I called from the high school library to my mom. It was the day that the early admissions should have arrived. And so was it a big, thick, fat envelope, or was it one of those small, thin envelopes? And I was ecstatic to find it was of the big and thick variety, and I was going to Carolina. My parents moved me into Hinton James on a blistering hot day in August of 1988. I didn't know the campus well, but it was clear that I was living on the 10th floor of the dorm that was farthest from the center of campus. It was pretty clear I was a bit of an outsider in some ways. My parents hopped in the car and headed back to Virginia. I was alone and knew no one. What did I think? I thought it was time to get down to the barbecue and meet some people. And that's just what I did. Now, the good thing about living in Hinton James is that there were a lot of us that were not Tar Heel born and Tar Heel bred, so it was pretty easy to make some friends. My freshman year was an adjustment. What the heck was an AP course? We had none in the high school I'd gone to. And what was a country day? And what were all these sororities? And what were these sororities and fraternities all about? It wasn't a world I knew. I mean, I had done well in a rural Virginia high school, but I had a lot to learn about writing a college-level paper that was expected at Carolina. For a first-generation college student, at least this one, the experience was a whole new world. I often didn't even know what questions to ask. I had a lot to learn, and quickly. But I was determined, and the atmosphere was kind. So I did learn a lot, and quickly. I was fortunate to have been invited to the freshman-sophomore honors program. This gave me the opportunity to learn from amazing professors in seminar-sized classes of 12 to 15 stellar students. It was challenging, but it was an awesome learning experience. I was also lucky enough to be dating a basketball crazy ROTC guy who could get really great tickets to all the Carolina basketball games. So we were there every time with good seats. It was a whole new world and it was fantastic. By the second year, I guess I'd figured out a few things because I did manage to land a room in Manly Dorm, which was right by the newly opened Davis Library and a stone's throw from every class. I suppose the current gender imbalance at Carolina had begun to take hold since it was the first year that Manly was womanly. Much to the chagrin of its former male occupants, it was converted to an all-female dorm. I was elected president of the dorm, and we had a fun time with our lipstick putting a W-O in front of the M-A-N-L-Y and making up many new traditions. I joined Order of the Bell Tower, Alpha Kappa Psi, the business fraternity, and entered the business school. Carolina headlines during my years included the opening of the Dean Dome, shanty towns on the quad, Billy Warden running for student body president. Anyway, it was a different world. And celebrating spring with Burnout and Spring Fest. I did a junior semester abroad in Geneva, Switzerland, and before I knew it, it was time to move on to the real world. My days at Carolina had been a grand adventure, full of new experiences and possibility. For the first generation college student who had arrived on campus 4 years earlier without a clue, there had been an acceptance and a sense of community. Some campuses I had visited considering colleges wore their pretense as a badge of courage, or a badge of honor, I should say, but not this one. Carolina had welcomed me to come as I was and join in the adventure and all the richness that this great institution had to offer, to grow, to explore, and to achieve as much as possible. From Carolina, I left and went to work in investment banking in Nashville. Then I went to teach English in Japan. Then I went to Harvard Business School. Then I went to Los Angeles to work in healthcare strategy and finance. Now, I still live in Los Angeles, not working at the moment, but I do have an 11-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a almost 16-year-old, so if you think that's not working, it is. But things are good, and my Carolina experience proved great preparation for it all. So several years ago, I had the privilege to join this fine board. Returning to Chapel Hill after many years, I was first struck by how beautiful and upgraded the campus was. Air conditioning in dorm rooms and a Starbucks on campus? My, oh my, things had changed in 20-some years. Second thing I remarked upon was this beautiful building and how seamlessly it was nestled into these woods. It's really a beautiful place. The third surprise was that the GAA had a staff of about 40. I thought it was Doug sitting in some small room with like five people. When I was here, the GA office was over by the Carolina Inn. It was a very small little office. Or maybe it wasn't so small, but it sure felt like it. So it had grown quite a bit. Beyond those cursory observations, I was so impressed with the true commitment of this university to the best interests of its students and the citizens of North Carolina and beyond. Every time I'm back here, I'm continually impressed by the clarity of purpose that each representative of the university has regarding making available the riches of this excellent education to as broad a population as possible. I hear it in the deliberateness with which the administrators and faculty discuss the Carolina Covenant Scholars and painstaking trade-offs involved in maintaining academic excellence while limiting tuition increases. When Mr. Lovelace discussed the Moorhead Kane Scholarships, his focus was on selecting students who would make a difference in the world. I see it in the GAA's choices for distinguished young alumni recipients. Also, when others have shared their Carolina stories, we have appreciated the true sense of a possibility and community that make Carolina a special place. The esprit de corps of this university is powerful. I commend you all for it, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Go Tar Heels.